Gospel of Luke, chapter 18. It's hard when everybody leaves the sanctuary. But they'll get good food next door. Spiritual food. I'm going to speak with us today on opportunity. Opportunity. Let's all say opportunity.
Opportunity.
This is a day of opportunity today. Do you know that today, decisions that you make today can change your entire life, can change your entire future, can change everything about you? Do you know that not making a decision is also a decision? And that's often the bad ones. So we all make decisions. Do you know that every one of us will be making a decision this morning? Every one of us will make a decision this morning. A decision that will impact and influence your whole future. Whether you say yes or no. Doesn't matter what you decide. Will have an influence on your entire future. That's the power of opportunity. We have an opportunity today to make wise decisions and good choices. That's the day we have. It's a day of opportunity. Do you know that I always give people opportunities? I've been criticized for that when people abuse that, and that happens, unfortunately. But I don't want anybody ever to point a finger at me and say, you never gave me an opportunity. That's why I'm always gracious or generous to give opportunities for people. I'm trying to help them. Just try and help people. I give them opportunity. Do you know that this church is an opportunity? That every Sunday morning, there is an opportunity to draw closer to God right here. And whether you come or not, that's a decision that you made. And the moment an opportunity is offered to you, you become a steward of that opportunity, a manager. It falls right into your lap and you become a steward of that opportunity. So every Sunday morning, there's an opportunity to draw closer to God, to fellowship with the people, and to worship together and so on. Every Sunday evening, there's an opportunity. Every Wednesday morning, there's an opportunity for the ladies. A wonderful opportunity for those that can. Every Wednesday evening, there's an opportunity. Every Thursday evening, there's an opportunity for youth. And every time there's an opportunity, decisions are made. You cannot, if you think I ignore that opportunity, well, that's a decision that you made not to participate or not to take advantage of it. But it's a decision. And so opportunities have consequences with them. Somebody says, now it's getting too serious. Well, it is serious. It is serious. Do you know, people think that, oh, you know, God's a good God and he, you know, he won't punish me or he won't. God's not out there to punish us. He's offering us opportunities to bless us. God's not a bad God. People hate God and they don't want to hear of God. They don't want to have anything to do with God because they don't care about God. But God loves them. God loves every one of us. God loves everyone who's running away from him. Every one of them. And I don't understand why people would not be drawn to him. Every day I have an opportunity to say, I'm out of this and I can do a lot better for myself in the world out there. Every day I have that opportunity. Do you know I was a bank manager with a very lucrative income? And I could have stayed there. But I was offered an opportunity to do something for God and I grabbed it with both hands. And I never looked back. I can never look back. Well, let's read here in Luke chapter 18 and verse 18. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" How many of you know that that's a good question to ask? And we ought to think of eternal life. We ought to think that life in the body is not all there is. And we need to make some preparations for eternity. I think it's foolish to live life in the flesh, to satisfy the flesh, and not worry about eternity. I personally think that's a very foolish decision to make, because life in the flesh is a lot shorter than life eternal. All right. So he's asking this question. It was bothering him. So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." Well, he was still living under the old covenant, so he still had to live by these commandments. Today we have new commandments, and which say you love the Lord your God with all your heart and your neighbor as yourself. Anyway, verse 21, and he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So he was a good man. He was a good man. He lived by the Ten Commandments. He was a good man. And he was rich. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing." One thing. Do you know that you can have a whole life of good things, but if there's one good thing lacking, all those good things won't help you. He lacked one thing. He just lacked one thing. But it was the most important thing that he lacked. He just lacked one little thing. But it was the most important thing that he lacked. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. So here was an opportunity offered to him, and that was, come and follow me. I sometimes, when I read this passage, I think we know that the Lord had 12 disciples, but I think maybe he could have had 13. Because here was somebody who had an opportunity to follow him and become one of his followers. It was an opportunity that was offered to him. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. He became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. Now, here's this young man. We don't know his name. We don't know his name. We have no idea who he was, what he did further on. We have no idea of what happened to him the rest of his life or so. We have no idea. All we know is that he missed an opportunity. He missed an opportunity. And he missed an opportunity to have a treasure in heaven. He had one on earth. But today, looking back, knowing that he's died by now, what does his treasure or his riches on earth mean to him? Nothing. Nothing. He had a nice life, obviously, and he had good things, and he had a lot of money. But today, all of that means nothing. It's gone. He's dead. His problem today is he has no treasure in heaven. That's the problem. Now it becomes an eternal problem. He has an eternal problem now because he has no treasure in heaven. What a tragedy that is. I think one of the greatest tragedies of life is when we miss great opportunities. And you came so close, so close, so close to something that would have changed your life for the better, and then you made the wrong decision, and now it's gone. What a tragedy that is. Well, you know, it's an eternal tragedy. It's not something that you can overcome in life. It's gone forever. Well, that's why it bothered him, and that's why he came to Jesus and said, he was thinking about eternal life, and he wanted to do the right thing to inherit eternal life. He thought about it. A lot of people today just won't think about it. Don't talk to me about that. I have my church. Well, we're not talking about church. We talk about eternal life. Right? We're not talking about church here. We just talk about eternal life. And so he missed a great opportunity, and he became sorrowful. When he weighed up the options, he came to the conclusion that what Jesus asked of him, what he had to give up, was too much. It was too much. And he decided to stick to what he had and leave. Well, when we flip the page and we go over there to Luke 19, it's another situation here. Another man. And his name we do know, because he did take advantage of the opportunity that was offered him. There in verse 1, it says, "Then Jesus entered and passed through Jericho. Now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." So here's another rich man. So we have two rich men here. "And he sought to see who Jesus was, but could not because of the crowd, for he was short of stature. So he ran ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way." Now, he also, just like the other young rich man, he also came to Jesus just the same. He just had a little problem because he was too short. He couldn't see above the heads of the people, and so he climbed up a tree so that he could see him. But this is the same thing. Two rich men coming to Jesus. Verse 5, "And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, 'Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house.'" Opportunity. Come down. I'm coming to your house. Get out of that tree. I'm going to visit you at your house today. Opportunity. He could have stayed up there and said, "No, I'm not coming down. You're not coming to my house." You could have said that. Verse 6, "So he made haste and came down and received him joyfully." Now here's where the story changes. Because the other one had sorrow, this one had joy. This is where the story changes. The one had sorrow when Jesus made him the offer. This one, when Jesus made him the offer, received him joyfully. That makes all the difference in the world, right there. But when they saw it, they all complained, saying, "He has gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner." Now, the first man was a good man. This one is a sinner. The first one is a good man. He kept all the commandments. He did all the right things. He was a good man. But he made the wrong choice. He was an old sinner, but he made a good choice. Verse 8, "Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, 'Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. And if I have taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold.'" I mean, Jesus didn't even tell him what he told the first man. Give away what you have. He just offered it. He just offered it. He said, I'll give away all of this. Because he realized that this opportunity is a golden opportunity. I'm not going to miss this one. All the money that I have is not worth what I've been offered right now. I'll just give it away. I'll just give it away. I don't care about the money. I just want him. I just want him. This is an opportunity that I cannot miss. He is the pearl of great value that I have found. Two very much the same kind of person, but very, very different hearts. And so he received him with joy. He received him with joy. And while the other one had sorrow. Verse 9, and Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house. Because he also is the son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost. And so salvation came to his house. But the other one turned away sorrowful. And missed a great opportunity. So we have opportunities today. Just like these two men, every one of us has an opportunity today to make some good choices for life. Now, the fact that the first man was a good man didn't change anything. Jesus wasn't looking for a good man. He was looking for a man who could make a wise decision. That was what he was looking for. Being a good person is not going to cut for us. You know, we can do all the good things and we can do all the right things, but that doesn't cut it for us with God. God is looking, Jesus is looking for followers. People that will follow him. People that will leave what they're into and follow him. Now, there is something that that we talk a lot about here in this church, and there is purpose. Do you know that every one of us, as we sit here this morning, was created for a specific purpose? Every one of us. Now, not everyone was called to be a preacher, not everybody was called to be an evangelist or any of that. But everyone was called to do something. That's an opportunity that was given to us. To do something for God. And I'm always thinking, and we spoke a little bit on this on Wednesday evening last week, of King Saul. King Saul was given an opportunity. He was the first king of Israel. What an opportunity that was. That God gave him that wonderful high position, that people would come and serve him, pay taxes to him, make him a rich, powerful man, a man who led the nation of Israel. But then at one stage he became his own man, and he decided that instead of obeying God, he obeyed people. And when you obey people, often you disobey God, which is what happened in his case. He disobeyed God, and he lost. His opportunity was taken away from him because he became his own man. Now, why am I telling us this? Because some of us were called to be business people and maybe doctors, whatever your vocation is, doesn't matter. But you can be God's doctor and be God's businessman and be God's plumber and God's carpenter. And do what God called you to do and what God hardwired you to do and equipped you to do, but do it for God and with God and to God. Because we can never cut him out of our lives. Serving him and following him is not a Sunday morning thing. Not a Sunday morning thing. That's religion. Now, we're not into religion. We're after the truth. And the truth is very different from religion. We're not into religion here. But if we want to be followers of Jesus, then you are a follower of him 24/7. And it's an opportunity that's offered to us. it's an honor to do anything for God. I don't know how you feel, but I feel it's an honor to do things for God. What an honor that is to do things for God. Sometimes we don't feel worthy enough, but God in our unworthiness came and made us an offer. I said, well, I can use you. I can use you. And we don't feel like it, but we say, okay, I'll go. I'll be your follower. I'll go where you send me. I'll do what you tell me to do. I'll say what you ask me to say. And we begin to pursue our life's purpose. Dr. Miles Monroe, I've learned a lot from when it comes to purpose. He says that the richest piece of real estate is not the gold mines and the diamond mines and maybe the Reserve Bank and all of that. It's the cemetery where all the dreams that God gave to people are buried. They never saw the light. Why not? Because people chose not to walk, not to take advantage of that opportunity, that offer that God made them. They went their own way and missed their purpose. Now, we learned a little late in our lives about this, but thank God it's never too late. It's never too late. That's why I believe we have to live long. We have a lot to do now. Amen. And be healthy all through. But when I see young people making wrong choices, that hurts. Oh, that hurts. When I see young people making choices that only concern today and the fun of today and what's cool for today, I think, what a tragedy that is. They have an opportunity at a young age to learn about purpose and start off well. We fell around. I fell around a lot. I fell around a lot. Man, I tell you, the jobs that I did, before I realized, you don't even want to hear about that. But our young people today have opportunities to make good choices at a young age and live fruitful lives that are satisfied and enriched because God is part of that. And when you make God a part of your life will be blessed beyond measure. How do I know that? We've learned that through the years. I've been around a long time. Listen. Don't be fooled by what is cool. Follow what is wise. I think cool is the greatest trap there is that is offered to people today. So they want to be cool. There's nothing cool about missing the mark. There's nothing cool about following the masses. What is cool is to stand out above the rest and be different from mainstream and say, I know where I'm heading and I'm not deviating from that. Now that is wise. Oh, there's a lot of dead fish that just float down the stream. But here and there, there's one that has life. That they go upstream. They go upstream. And can I offer our young people one sentence of advice? Don't go with the flow. Don't go with the flow. The flow is heading nowhere. It is heading to nowhere. But if you dig in your heels and you say, I know where I want to go and I need God to help me get there and that's what I will pursue with all I have, you're a wise person. You're a wise person. There's a lot of young people that have more wisdom than a lot of old people. And I encourage our people, and especially our young people, to make wise choices. Don't fall for the stuff of the world. Don't fall for the stuff that passes away. Don't be like the rich young man who ended up with no treasure in heaven. And today when we look at these two men, I would say, I will go with the old sinner who made a good choice. I'll go with him. Let's go to Philippians chapter 3. There's a wonderful example here of the Apostle Paul. He was one that he had the best teacher of the day. He was in the best school of the day. He had the best teacher that was available. He did what this rich young ruler did. He obeyed all the commandments. He stayed with all the good things. He was with the right crowd. He didn't waste his life or his time or his money on things that don't matter. He did all things well. He was the best of the best. He was the best of the best. And let's read from verse 1. Finally, my brethren, that's a good way to put it. I want to say, if I can say to people one final thing, I would say, don't fall for the trap that the world has to offer you. Don't fall for that. Have the courage to be different. Have the courage to be different. Finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. For me to write the same things to you is not tedious, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. It's all out there. For we are the circumcision who worship God in the Spirit, rejoice in Christ Jesus, and have no confidence in the flesh. Well, today it's all about confidence in the flesh. It's all about that. Isn't it? Well, yes, a man that's different. He says, we have no confidence in the flesh. No, that's different. Verse 4, though I also might have confidence in the flesh, if anyone else thinks that he may have confidence in the flesh, I am also circumcised the eighth day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of the Hebrews, concerning the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, concerning the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. Very few people could say that. Blameless concerning the law. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. This is a life-altering sentence. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet indeed I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, that I may gain Christ. See, he was offered that opportunity to choose between all the good things that he had, the special person amongst the Jewish people, this man of excellence, blameless. He could have all of that and all the accolades of the people, or have Christ. He says, I gave all of that up. Verse 9, and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on. I thank God for people who are willing to press on. You know, when I asked you earlier, who likes a challenge? That is what I'm looking for. I believe that's what God's looking for. People who can press on. Circumstances are against you, press on. all my friends leave me, I press on. I have to give up things, I press on. I have to give up some comforts, I press on. I believe, and I'll just throw in this for free. You don't have to pay for that. That the curse of the Western church is comfort and luxurious living. It's the curse, I'm telling you, of the Western church. If you've been where I have been and you've seen people who have nothing and come out to church where there is nothing and it's cold and windy and wet and they come up and pray for 2.5 hours, now, there are people who are convicted. That's not a preference, that's a conviction. That's the crowd where I feel safe. People get beat up. I don't know, many of you probably saw, but we have a graduate of a Bible school in Nigeria. And they had riots there in her region where she is, in the northern part of Nigeria. I sent an email and said, tell me if you're safe and how you're doing. She came back and said, they burned 20 churches here and we have nothing. They killed some of us. We have nothing, nothing to eat and nothing to wear. They burned our houses down. There's nothing. She said, but we went to our place, our church, and we worshiped there for the full length of the service under those threats because we are not going to give up. These people are pressing on. That is pressing on. Well, they can go home and say, well, that's a little dangerous. I'm not going to church tonight. I'll just put my feet up wherever. Or stay at home. It's nice and cozy. We have there's a nice program on TV tonight. Or we can do this. Let me tell you something. That's the curse of the Western church. I don't want to condemn anybody. But boy, we need to wake up here in the West. We need to wake up in the West. When people have a public prayer meetings and they're scared to name the name of Jesus because there's some dignitary sitting there, let me tell you, that is not the crowd that I want to walk with. Wayne will tell you, he ministers to a woman in China, that over the Easter weekend, there was a crackdown. You probably saw it on TV. And they arrested a whole bunch of them. She was one of them. Now, I wish I could rather talk on comfort today, because I have a lot to say. But I go back to where I need to go. Let's just say, just to get it off our chest, God, deliver me from comfort. Come on now. Now, you can answer that prayer, you know. Verse 12, back to verse 12. Not that I have already attained or am already perfected, but I press on that I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Do you understand that? That I may lay hold of that purpose. Do you see purpose there? That I may lay hold of that for which Christ Jesus has also laid hold of me. Purpose. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, which means I've not arrived. But one thing I do. And when I see one thing, I'm reminded of that one thing that the rich young ruler lacked. Jesus said, you lack one thing. Now Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead, I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Goal. Purpose. is go. He said, I'm leaving everything behind. I'm not thinking of what went wrong in my past. I'm not thinking. He had a lot of things that he did, not good things he did. He was there when Stephen was stoned and approved of that. And he persecuted the church, put Christians into jail. He did some bad things. But he said, I forget all of that. I put behind me. All those things I put behind me. And even the good things that he mentioned earlier in this passage, that I put all of that behind me, all the good and all the bad, because there's one thing I do. I press toward that goal. I press toward that goal of that upward call of Christ. And here's the opportunity that we have today, that we today can make that decision, that we can leave things behind us. Forget about your past. Let me tell you, I've never met a perfect person. I've never met a person that has arrived. I haven't arrived. Nobody's arrived. We are all pressing on, I hope. We're all pressing on. And today we have an opportunity to say, I'm going to turn myself around and I'm going to leave all of that behind me and I am pressing on. Because there's a goal, there's purpose ahead of me. And I don't want to miss that goal. I don't want to miss that goal. I want to hit the mark. I want to hit the mark. Now, there are tough days, and we all know about that. I have a lot of tough days. You have no idea what it is to lead a church. You have no idea. Let me tell you something. You have no idea what that is. We have tough days. We have tough days. But we cannot focus on the tough days because we have goals. We cannot stop and camp at the place where we feel we've been defeated. We need to move on because we have goals and there's a purpose that we need to fulfill. You cannot look back. You cannot look around. You have to look ahead. You have to look ahead. Now, if your only dream in life is to one day have a good, have a headstone where it says you were a good person, now that's not a high goal. That's not a lofty goal. If your life is not a monument of what you've come to do here, don't bother with a headstone. Don't bother with a headstone. Forget about that. Because we are here today to lay up that treasure that will last for eternity. It's not just for today. Today will be gone in a few hours. Be all over. Life will be all over soon. Some people think, well, it's not in our time. You know, well, go to the cemetery and see all the graves of the young people and children. Go and see and be serious. Life is not to be fooled around with. Life is a serious, serious matter. And don't miss the purpose of your life. The greatest tragedy is when we fail in our purpose. That's the greatest tragedy that you can ever experience. And don't do that. And I encourage us today, let's make good choices. Let's not be like the rich young ruler who thought he was a good person. And, well, I only lack one thing. That's not too bad. The problem was, that was the most important thing that he lacked. Just be like that old sinner. He stole money from people. He overtaxed them, put the money in his pocket. He was rich too. But he made a good choice. Say, I am God. When Jesus calls me down out of this tree, I'm going down and taking him home with me. And salvation came to his house. Not just to him. To his house. What a good choice that was. Taking advantage of an opportunity once in a lifetime. Somebody says, well, I'm still young. I'll do it when I'm 50 or when I'm 60. You may never reach 50. And why would you waste so much time? Why would you want to waste so much time when you could have spent it in great joy and satisfaction and a great future with peace in your life? Why would you do that? Do you know that if you if you have to pass away right now in the service, can you say with confidence, I'll be with the Lord? Can you say that with confidence? Well, if not, here's an opportunity. Today you can say that. Today. You can leave here with an opportunity, taking advantage of an opportunity that will change your whole future. Today, right now, you're in the service, you can do that. And feel secure and have peace. And be connected with the source of life. Because to be disconnected from Him, that's the most dangerous thing you can ever do. To be disconnected from the source of life, God Himself, the giver of life. Don't be disconnected from Him. Be connected. It's an opportunity. Today. Today is a day of opportunity. To get in line with God's plan for your life. And experience a very different life. A very different life. A life of no fear. Because you know whatever happens, it doesn't really matter. Because I'm connected with the source of life. I'm connected with Him. It's not about being good. It's about being wise. Let's close your eyes and bow our heads. I don't want anybody to look around. This is a serious moment because it's about eternity. And I want to make you an offer today. I want to pray with you. And I want to make sure that you take advantage of a golden opportunity that is placed right before you today. It's a choice that you need to make. It's a decision. And every one of us will make a decision today. Every one of us will make a decision today. It'll be either, yes, I will follow Him, or it's going to be no. Just one of the two. And I pray that you will make a good decision. And if you had a life, if you're a Christian and you feel you're born again and you're on the right road, but you've been uncommitted and this curse of comfort has poisoned you, then today you can change that. Today you can change that. It's an opportunity. And I'm not here to embarrass anybody. I don't want to put anybody on the spot. That's why I say, just close your eyes. Everybody's eyes closed. And I want to, if you are one that you say, I need to make that decision, I just want you to slip up your hand very quickly. To slip up your hand. It's a moment of decision. It's a moment of decision right now. We're making decisions. Decisions are being made. Holy Spirit's busy. He's busy. It's not a game. This is not a game. This is too serious for that. It's not a game. We're in the valley of decision right now. This opportunity is written down in the books in heaven, in the records of heaven. This day, this opportunity written down. An opportunity was given. Decisions. You were invited to make a decision. Hands went up. Hands went up. Positive decisions, good decisions are being made. I know some people experience some pressure. That's fine. Even if you leave this meeting, that pressure will be on you. Because God is after you. He doesn't want you to be lost. He loves you. He loves you. He wants you to make a good decision. And He's after you. And He's going to knock at the door of your heart till you open up to Him. Father, I thank You that You gave us this day of opportunity. That a decision was placed before us. And I thank you for those who raised their hands. A step of faith. A step of faith, a confession that I'm making that decision. It's a confession that I'm making. I thank you for those. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you are working in their lives. You're touching their hearts. That give them the strength to follow you every step of the way. Not just for the service and the purpose of the service, but from now on, every day, to walk with you. To leave behind things that don't matter. And to invest their time and their lives into things that do matter. I thank you for the security that we have in you. And Father, I pray that your hand will be upon them, that you protect them and guide them and strengthen them. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.